A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mariam Zamani, and I'm an oculoplastic surgeon with a special interest in facial aesthetics and also the founder of MZ Skin. And this is the Guinea Pig Podcast. Why are we called the guinea pig?
Because that's what I am. I'm writer and journalist Fiona Goldfarb, and I'm here, ready and willing, to try out just about any treatment and treatment going. We are the breath that you take before trying anything out there. So, if you're looking for an honest, no-holds-barred approach to invasive and non-invasive cosmetic surgery,
then come join us from the clinic every Thursday on the Guinea Pig Podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the clinic for another episode of the Guinea Pig as I am cleansing my hands for the 8,000th time today.
Do you know how many times nurses wash their hands? I know this because I wrote about some hand cream that's been done for nurses. 56 times a day.
No. But, you know, I think I probably do wash my hands on average at least 30 times.
Yeah.
But let's introduce you
Oh,
first.
Let's introduce me. Sorry. That's me and my mouth.
Enough about you. Tell us about you. I'm very excited to be. I'm going to introduce you.
Okay, you introduce me.
You are well known to me because you are my dear, dear friend. In fact, known in our household as Cherie, Lisa Armstrong, fashion director of The Telegraph newspaper and also beauty columnist for The Telegraph, or co-beauty columist with...
Well, there's a bunch of
beauty columnists for the for the Telegraph. So you span all worlds, and I'm really thrilled to have you here with us today.
I'm Shelley. Very
thrilled, and you are my Shelley. Famously, when my daughter was little, I was Molly. Lisa was the fashion features director at Vogue, and we are all very old friends. We all had our children together, and every other experience you could imagine around the fact. And I was getting dressed to go out one night, and so often did I speak to Lisa on the phone. I was getting dressed, and I said to my daughter, Molly, what do you think of what I'm wearing? And she said, I don't know. Why don't you ask Cherie? Forever Cherie in my heart, and Molly's, I think. But I'm so happy to have you on the Guinea Pig. And Cherie, actually, you and I, even though you seem to have a more professional angle on this, I think that we both... kind of crossed the floor, as it were, from a great love of fashion into a great love of...
It's funny you say that, though, because I always thought of you as obviously very stylish, but you started as a makeup artist. Are we allowed to talk about
that?
No,
we do endlessly talk about
it. And so I always thought you knew about beauty, and I always loved makeup, and I love cosmetics and beauty creams. And I remember once the wonderful late Anna Harvey saying to me at Vogue, oh, you do your eye makeup so well, Lisa. And I thought that's an insult because no one at Vogue wears makeup. No one wore visible makeup except me.
Well, it was the early 90s, so makeup
wasn't
very unheroine chic, wasn't it?
It was very unheroine. And I was very unheroine chic as well. Yeah, and so the reason I love it is, as we've discussed many times, is that it's really accessible. And clothes are very, very expensive, nice clothes. And that's wonderful, and I love them. But, you know, it's not something that everyone can access, whereas...
Having a look
everyone can buy
you can,
lipstick.
You can make, you can
everyone
make
can
a look.
Buy a lipstick. And also what I found, because on The Telegraph, our readers skew, you know, from probably 40 to a lot older. And I love the fact that I can speak to older women. You know, when you're 95, women still care about their skin.
Of course.
Such
and
a
I
lot.
Love
it's
that.
Amazing.
And I love it. And also, I think when you write about the right beauty product, and who knows what that is? That's a sort of magic thing. You never quite know. But you can sell thousands of that product. And it's not that, I mean, I'm not getting a cut. There is no financial benefit to me. I want to make that absolutely clear. But it just shows that you're tapping into something and people are really engaged.
I actually think there's also a kind of cost per wear element.
Yeah,
so I remember buying my sofa at home, which made my eyes bleed. It cost so much money at the time.
But
cost per wear, my bum has been on that seat so many times. Whereas a pair, I find actually the more expensive the piece of clothing
the
less I wear it, because I might buy a dress for an event or a wedding.
We
should be renting, but they don't really do it in my size, I found, trying to rent. I have to say, there is a real point to be made about that.
Oh, that's interesting.
I'm a big... So all these kind of great Rent the Runway companies say to me, oh, you know, we've got all this from Alexa or someone. I say, that's very nice, but I'm a size 14. And
are you?
Yeah, I'm a size 14 and up sometimes. And rent.
Well, that's obviously something that they will address
they will hopefully address it. I mean, they're learning as we go.
Yeah, it's very young. I was always very skeptical because I was always Miss Frugal. And, you know, if it came from Boots and it was under £5, I was there. But I've become a bit more discerning, but also still skeptical. I don't think just because something's expensive, it works. Quite the opposite sometimes. But I think if you find good products, they really do make a difference. And that's so I love it.
I think it's sort of like hair color. You know, you find your hair color, it works. Sometimes it works for a really long time, or even a haircut, and then you have to change it up a little bit. Same with skincare too.
And the other thing about skincare, I mean, I remember when I was 12, my mum, I mean, my family in Boots, she gave me for my 12th birthday, I think it was either number 17, the skincare pack for teenagers. And I have been essentially scrupulous about my skin ever since. I mean, you know,
it started you on a path of,
she really,
you know.
Did my mum was very lacking in vanity, but the one thing she was passionate about was skincare. But in those days there wasn't much choice. I mean, there was Boots number 7 and 17
kind of Ponds.
And then there was what my grandmother was, Helena Rubinstein, you know, which was old and also expensive. But now you look and you go into Space NK, or
there's so many beautiful brands to choose from.
And there's just beautiful things. I love it.
But I've noticed with you that over the last few years, really, that you've started to embrace, you were a really early adopter of kind of the culture of clean and the kind of products that you put on your face, whilst also, dare I say...
Going for the odd tweak.
Well... going for the odd tweak. And I wondered, because you were here before I got here today, and I was just wondering, I don't think you were having a deep cleanse.
I tell you, I'm not a scientist. So on the clean, I just come with my... I think it's terribly confusing. And even people who have all the qualifications in the world scientifically,
it is confusing.
Everyone disagrees. I do not have a GCSE in science. It's shaming, but I was so bad at science they begged me at school to give it up because I was going to bring the numbers down, so I did Latin instead. And
what I do have is a
journalist's brain. I can type, so I can look on Google, and also because I have a column, I have to make the time to read the lists of ingredients, and I force myself to do that. Read the lists of ingredients and look them up. And what I find is often quite alarming. So you could argue, well, this is alarmist rubbish, but there's some very good science brains who say, no, it's not. There are things out there that are disrupting hormone systems. I do go for the, where possible, the clean approach, just because I think if you can, why not? But that doesn't mean that I'm not partial to the odd bit of Botox. And I know it's totally contradictory.
No, but why are you... That's actually not contradictory at all, because it's a natural occurring toxin that's found in honey. And that's why, for instance, you're not allowed to give babies honey before the age of 2 years. So it's not...
Who knew? I'm thinking of what's the honey you stuffed out our kids.
But so, I mean... It has an unfortunate name. Right. I think the name is what makes it sound like it's bad for you, because it has the word toxin in it. But just because you like clean skincare doesn't mean that you can't have anything else, you know, a botulinum toxin. So, but on the idea of clean, the problem is obviously, I mean, I have my small skincare line and I stay away from all the nasties as well. So I stay away from anything that's known to be like a hormone disruptor. Mm. The problem sometimes lies in the fact that the older an ingredient is, the more research has gone into it and the more we know about it. So perhaps parabens get a bad name
because
they've been around.
And I know they're naturally occurring in fruit, some of them.
Exactly. Mm. But who's to say that something else we've replaced it with isn't necessarily worse?
Totally agree with
you. That's always the question. And that's why when people ask me, you know, what's the newest thing? I don't think new makes a difference. You have to use what's been tried, tested, and proven to be efficacious and good for you without like having the negative
effects. I agree. I mean, I love to see clinical trials.
I do too.
You know, and I waver, and sometimes I get confused because I'll go and see someone who's just launched a new skincare brand, and they seem incredibly compelling in what they're saying. And it's full of chemicals. Because I think there's some beautiful products out there that are plant-based and also very effective.
So I would agree with that. My only thing for anybody listening is that if anybody has a skincare product that doesn't expire in 7 to 10 days, has some sort of preservative and therefore chemicals in it.
That's a very good point.
So that you cannot find, there's no such thing as a totally organic or clean sort of product.
Well, I don't even like the term clean, do you?
I don't either. You know, you're trying to, I think that the idea behind good skincare is that you're trying to provide the best ingredients with the best results and with the lowest risk profile possible. So, you know, anything that you do from the shampoo that you use in your hair, because obviously you don't want to have fungus growing in your pot of cream or in your shampoo or in any of those types of things.
You don't necessarily want anything that somebody says, oh, I started this business mixing in my kitchen. You think, okay, well, I could do that. I want something that's got real
science. I agree. But plants do have, we know, you know, have great abilities to help the skin, help in medicine. And, you know, that whole, I just came back from Lanzerhof a little while ago. I mean, like, there's ancient, even food, you know, you can eat yourself healthy, you know, really.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of things that you can do to benefit yourself. So you can also do it in skincare.
I think it's all about sort of informing yourself and then being balanced about it, you know? I mean, I eat organic food, but that doesn't mean I never have a Chinese takeaway.
Yeah, of course. Uh-oh, Chinese, you're speaking about fees.
Oh, my eyes just misted it. I want to know what's on the shelf. What's on your bathroom shelf?
Too much. I mean, that's...
There better be MZ skin.
There is a problem with being a journalist, though. Yeah. I find it as well. So I'm always testing something, so it's very hard to know what to...
And I have to say, Mariam's light mask is unbelievable.
So happy you like it. It is very good, if I do say so myself.
It really is incredible. I find the infrared really amazing. But anyway, I'm really loving this brand at the moment called Allies of Skin, which has got a lot of science behind it, but is also, you know, very, very plant-based. And I just enjoy using it.
Is it a British brand?
No, I don't think it is, actually. It's not American.
We're going online as we speak. She's Googling.
I love that Rosemary Swift.
It's so nice.
It's really good makeup.
Yeah, it's so nice. We talked about it last week because Celia Burton, the makeup artist, came in and we were using Glossier products, which I really like.
Do you? You like Glossier? I like the kind of lightness of them. And I don't really get the point of it. I love RMS because I'm not going to go on about it because you've already done it last week, but it just ticks so many boxes. It's really good. The colours are amazing. The texture's beautiful. And it's lacking in lots of nasty chemicals. I've got this really good app called... Well, there's two. And you can put barcodes or just products
and it'll tell you what's in it.
Tell you what's in them. One's called Think Dirty and the other one's called Yuka. I mean, they don't cover everything.
But you can go into a store and you can wave this app over the bar on the back and it'll tell you what's in it. How brilliant.
It doesn't do everything. You know, some of the really tiny brands aren't in there. But I find it quite helpful. I love Alexandra Sovereigns. Again, it's sort of organic, plant-based. It's just finding out what works for you. The thing I find, Mariam, about skincare is that, you know, there are all these amazing claims. How do you know? Because actually... I would have to clone myself, right? And then use both Lisas would have to use a product for 5 or 6 years to see that, or one would use it and the other one wouldn't. And that's the only way.
So it's very subjective, of course. The ones that are not subjective. So when someone, I do clinical trials too. So there's two different kinds. You can get the actual science behind it where you either look at photographs and you have it's blinded. So the doctor doesn't see the patient at all, sees photographs or certain scans and says, that the wrinkle reduction is then measured by such and such. So that's one aspect of clinical trials. And then the second aspect is very subjective, where the patient or the person trying it uses that product and only that product.
Yeah.
So they do not use anything else on their skin during that time.
And that time is generally how long?
It depends.
I never know. We're talking 3 months, 6 months?
No.
It's
usually,
28 days.
Yes. It's usually between, you know, between 28 to 60 days for most people.
To see a difference or not.
Yes. Well, most skincare, to be fair, you really should give it at least 6 to 8 weeks before you start seeing a difference. And most, because you have to have at least one or two skin cycles, generally 12 weeks. Like, that's why it's good to use a skincare product for 3 months.
Yeah.
It's very hard to trial something.
It is. And I used to be really skeptical about beauty editors because I didn't think any of them. I knew they weren't trying the products because they were getting them the same time I was, the samples.
And then a week later.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
But I can see how difficult it is to... You can't... Yeah.
It's very hard to do that.
It's very hard to try products for 3 months in isolation.
And it is also hard in isolation because then you might also have a cleanse or you might have something else that you're doing. And so it's very hard to subjectively say that. But
the other thing somebody said to me, somebody in the beauty industry who retails said to me, oh, you know, beauty editors, they just don't understand the science. They don't read the science, blah, blah, blah.
That's not true. I find a lot of...
Well, the other thing is that the science is so contradictory. And what I have realized as someone who didn't get a science O-level and who was always in awe of any... You wave a white paper at me or come in a white coat. And I used to be completely overawed by this. But I've realized that science actually is about interpretation. I mean, you can have all the qualifications in the world and still disagree with the other person with all the qualifications in the world. And it's how you read the data. So I sort of think this, it comes back to the whole trying to steer away from toxins. It's just, in the end, you have to decide what makes sense to you and then try and follow that.
I agree. And then also, I think you have to listen to your skin, too. So
yeah.
I do think, you know, you're your own best judge as well. If you think some products don't work for you, then... Don't let anybody try and say that it will. You know, there are some ingredients I think work for everybody, but everybody has a little bit of sensitivity or one ingredient might be better for them than the other. And I think ultimately, if you have a few core ingredients that you have, everything else is icing on the cake. And so that's sort of how you should, you know, approach it. And that's why I do think less is more.
It's incredibly confusing out there. I feel that the beauty industry lobs endless bogus. This is the other thing. I mean, forget for a moment the toxins, but there's a lot of very aggressive skincare out there that is actually not doing women's skin any favors. And I can see that with my own eye. I mean, you do not need when you see thin papery skin on women who are only in their 40s,
yes,
and they go to dermatologists and they do all the things they think are the right things to be doing. And they're doing all the retinol stuff because they've always been told retinol is the sort of...
Holy grail.
Yeah, the holy grail. And that makes me so cross with the industry.
Not if you've got rosacea, it's not, let me tell you.
It's not the holy grail.
No,
it's not.
My skin reacts.
Retinol can be used to treat.
Well, you're the doctor.
But only, so it depends on what the presentation is. So rosacea, acne, you know, it's the two of them together. But of course, it can exacerbate the redness or the erythema that's happening. But it can be used to treat the acne that could be associated with acne rosacea. So, you know, it depends, but it also has to be regulated. And retinol is not, or, you know, vitamin A derivative, because retinol is just one type of vitamin A derivative, has to be done in a factor, in a manner that you get acclimated to. Otherwise, you can be very aggressive. You can be dry, fail, yes. But I think some of these things, people think, oh, just because it's over the counter, it can't be that strong. It can actually be very strong. So,
well, the thing that everyone's been going crazy about for the last year, vitamin C.
Yes.
I mean, it's an acid, right? So you've got to use it in small doses.
On some people, it can be very inflammatory initially, and you have to build it up just
and
as you would.
And yet, on me, it's not at all. And that's something I use every morning, a tiny spot of vitamin C, and my skin doesn't react.
And what does it do to your skin?
I think it gives it a sort of, I'd say, just a slight polish.
Right.
Tiny polish, though.
So I love vitamin C. I can't live without vitamin C personally.
And do you wear it every day?
I have it every day, and sometimes even twice a day. So if I'm not using a retinol, and I do use quite a lot of retinol, but I love vitamin C because it's great because I suffer from pigmentation. So it's a great antioxidant, and it helps to prevent new pigmentation from forming, and it helps lighten and brighten the skin. So while also producing collagen and all of that. So I think also I don't want to say tougher skin, but I've been doing, you know, more, I don't want to say aggressive, because that, I think that sounds negative, and it's not negative, but I've been using active skincare.
Highly active,
yeah, yes. I've been using active skincare for quite some time. And so I think that I'm not as prone necessarily to having that, despite the fact that, you know, I wash my hands 36 times a day, and, you know, I have dry skin. I can have dry skin elsewhere. I don't have that problem in terms of the active.
It's interesting
on my face.
Actually, because there's loads of products that I enjoy using. There are very few that make a real visible difference, I feel.
Well,
I
mean, can you?
That's because you don't have some of those conditions.
No, I mean,
so
you're
blessed with a clear skin. So if you had pigmentation, if you had redness,
I'm actually the worst. I have the not
if you had
the great
acne,
skin for being a beauty editor, because it's
because you have good skin.
It's fine.
Yes. But if you had anything that had any sort of blemish, so if you had, you know, pigment, if you have redness, if you have, you know, spots, if you had scarring, any of those things, you would. The more active the ingredient, the more you would be able to see sort of the difference in having the skincare. For you, it's just a matter of, you know, hydration and you know, fine lines and wrinkles.
And
you
what's
know?
The what? I mean, apart from your own products, what do you rate for hydration? So, what about HA? Because we were talking about that before.
I love hyaluronic acid. I think it's a great ingredient. I have it in a lot of my products. I don't think it's necessarily something that you need to have on its own, because it doesn't really absorb into the skin. So you have high and low molecular weight hyaluronic acid. Hyaluronic acid, incidentally, is something that we produce in our bodies. It's also the thing that you inject in your face when you have a hyaluronic acid-based filler. And so it plumps. It holds 1,000 times its weight. It's a type of hyaluronic acid as well. So it basically holds 1,000 times its weight in water, and it locks in that hydration. But when you put it topically, it doesn't necessarily mean it's being absorbed by your skin. So it needs to be formulated, and size-wise, it has to be a molecule that can penetrate through the skin to hydrate.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of these things, ceramides, peptides, humectants, I mean, there's a lot of ingredients that can be used to lock in moisture, because remember, our skin is the biggest organ in the body, and everything can evaporate in like 3 seconds, depending on the climate. And I know Fee really wants to talk, so I'm going to let her say something.
Only to do with that, but because I think you're an editor, and so you have a certain sort of responsibility to your readers to reflect what's going on. You know, you come back from the shows, you go to the shows, God knows you have to schlep around the world sort of watching endless trends being born, and then you have to report back on those trends, and people need to try and find something to hook onto that they're going to be able to follow. And you asked me to write a piece for you that really made an impression on me about a year ago, I think it was, which was about the kind of skin hydration at the shows on older women. A lot of the models were older, and they had their real faces, I'm going to say, or even if they weren't their real faces, they had faces that were not frozen. They were in their sort of 40s, 50s, 60s, some of these models. But what they all had in common was that they were all very kind of glowing and hydrated and moisturized. And I wondered whether, so that was about a year ago, and it really made an impression on me, even about thinking about things like, you know, I'm not mad keen on Botox for me, because I'm just not, for some reason. I mean, I do a little bit.
But you don't really,
but
because
I
you
really
also don't have the
need it,
you don't
so
have
don't
that
have
problem.
Lined skin, but I do have friends who are very lined, and a lot of those faces I find the most interesting faces I look at. Some of my lined friends. But I was telling a friend of mine the other day, you can be lined and really, really have good skin at the same time.
Yes.
You can have very glowy skin. You can have very moisturized skin. And I wondered, you know, it's March, you've just come out of the shows. What are you seeing that is kind of as inspiring to you as that was a year ago? And I wondered whether you'd seen any new looks or anything that you'd really loved coming out of the shows, beauty-wise, that real women, you know, can latch onto. I say real women, the women listening to the show, I'm hoping, are all real.
I think more emphasis on really good skin. Because what's amazing at the shows, and this isn't meant to shame the models at all, but that sometimes the lighting is so harsh and the makeup is being done for sort of
drama.
To show how creative the makeup artist, not to make the girls look good. And they come out and you can really see the wear and tear on their skin, and they're only 20. But there seemed to be more emphasis on really lovely skin. You know, Simone Rocha, the models always look beautiful, glowy. They look radiant, and she really seems to like women of all ages. That's what I really... I mean, because I'm older, you know, I appreciate when I see an old lady on the catwalk
now. Do you think that the women designers are actually more sympathetic to the kind of beauty of a woman?
Not always.
Not always.
Absolutely not always, no. Oh, this is great. I was body mapped the other day. I went to this personal stylist called Anna Berkeley, and she draws around you on a piece of brown paper. You stand against the wall and nowhere to hide, right? You're wearing your gym kit.
What do you do with that?
Well, she makes about a squillion little notes all over it and says, well, you've got an oval face, hooray, but you've got a short neck, boohoo. I thought I was Audrey Hepburn, but no. But you've got long legs, she said. All these things that you never, ever knew.
Where is this place? I want to go to.
I'll give you all the details in thetelegraph.co.uk. But what's so interesting is that it doesn't matter in the end. You realise it doesn't matter if you've got a short neck or short legs or whatever, because it's all about creating balance. And you can do that with your clothes if you're a very clever dresser. And so when she said to me that I had long legs, I thought, way to go. What's not good about that? And she said, well, actually, you don't want to have legs that look too long. You want to be in balance.
Oh, I don't know.
I think I'd be very happy with long legs.
Yes, but I
do you wear short skirts? I've never seen you in a short skirt.
Oh, God, I've never wear a short skirt. Because even though it turns out I have long legs, I have terrible legs. I have a lot of length. Then it's all terrible.
Sherry, do you think you wear less makeup now than you did when you were talking about the Anna Harvey days?
Marian rubbed it all off.
I'm sorry.
What did you do today?
Can I just say?
Yes.
My husband thinks I don't have any work.
Paul, don't listen to this.
Don't listen to this, but no one must tell. If you see my husband, don't tell him.
Well, there wasn't much work done. I mean, we just did a little sprinkle and that's it, of a little bit of hyaluronic acid, basically.
Yeah.
Because we chatted about a year ago, I think, and you were saying, I think I'm thinking about not doing any more tweaking.
Yes. Well, I get paranoid because, as I say, I go to the shows and I see a lot of work. And a lot of it's really obvious.
Yes.
And that's just sitting in the front row.
That's just sitting in the front row.
And but that's a lot of stuff placed consistently over a long period of time.
You panic. Do I look
and
like
I think,
that?
Do you know what? I'd rather look saggy and haggy. And then when I do get saggy and haggy, I think...
You panic again.
Where's the number?
Speed down.
I like very devious work that you can't tell.
We like invisible. We want to look well.
I like invisible work.
Invisible is good.
I have... Yeah. And do you know what? I think to take the moral high ground about women or people who have work is, what the hell? Why are you taking the moral high ground?
There should be
people
no judgment.
People can do what the hell they want with their faces.
What's your all-time favorite trend?
Fashion,
face, skincare, like what is it, like one of everything?
I think I love the 70s because I love all that fluidity. I love, you know, Julie Christie in Don't Look Now, that wardrobe is killer and would suit most people. Because I love Jackie Kennedy, right?
Yes.
Early 60s, all the prim.
Yes.
But as my body mapping showed the other day, I never knew why it looked terrible on me, but it's because I've got the wrong body. Thank God I wasn't around in the early 60s. Favorite beauty trend, the onset of nude. Bobbi Brown, when she first, what a revelation. And it's still relevant now. I love sheer.
Post-80s it arrived, didn't it? I think.
I hated the 80s. I really thought the fashions, the beauty, the hair was disgusting. Even at the time, I could never find any
80s. Oh my God, I had a perm in the 80s.
Oh, I had a perm.
Everything went wrong in the 80s.
It was all bad.
Is there one product skin-wise that you, you know, you always go back to? You can try everything.
Okay, your mask, your light mask.
That's very kind.
And also, yeah, I do. I love the Alex Sovereign Angel Balm, she calls it. She was one of the first to come out with those cleansing balms. And, you know, at the time you think, oh, how can all this greasy, fatty thing... I mean, that's a terrible way of describing it because it's all organic, beautiful, high-quality plants. But it's... I love that very soft... I don't like anything harsh.
A tingle stresses me out.
Okay.
Does it?
Yes. Although I've got this olive skin... and it's pretty tough. It hates the sun. I get this eczema-y thing head to toe. So I've had to be so careful. And so anything that makes my skin come out in anything that I think might develop into a rash scares the bejesus out of me.
Yes, of course.
And the other thing I really like is you introduced me to her, Sarah, at Onda. Because they are super, super scrupulous about the brands they stock. In terms of clean, because I said to her, why don't you have X and why don't you have Y? And she said, because we don't think they're
clean enough.
They're clean enough.
X. It's called underbeauty.co.uk if you're going to their sites, but they've got a very good and very well edited selection of clean beauty. Sherry,
thank you very, very much for having me.
Thank you very much. And we'll speak to you all next week.
Thank you. Bye.
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 The Guinea Pig provides unbiased information to those who may be considering cosmetic surgery or even trialling a non-invasive treatment or product. We do not endorse the use of any product or procedure featured in this podcast and are not responsible for the outcome of any of the treatments featured on this podcast or damage caused in connection with any treatments or products. Should you decide to try any of the procedures, treatments or products mentioned in any episode of The Guinea Pig, you do so at your own risk. Always consult an independent and fully qualified medical professional if you are considering embarking on a medical procedure, irrespective of whether it's an invasive or non-invasive procedure.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.